wondering this morning whether you are someone who sees the glass as half full or half empty. Are you the optimist or a pessimist? Do you find yourself looking for silver linings in situations? Or are you the one who often tends to be the one that sees the worst? How do you respond in a difficult situation? Are you the one who's quickly pointing out solutions or possibilities? Or are you the one who helps others really start to understand how bad the situation actually is? You know, we are living through strange times. 2020 has been a difficult year for many of us. Locked down, shut in, high levels of anxiety and uncertainty. And if we're honest, we don't know how much longer this is still going to last. How much longer COVID-19 will be impacting every part of our lives, or so it feels like. Now, we know that God is good, but for many of us, that might be the only thing at this time that we can be sure of. But I want us to see this morning that whether we see the glass as half full or half empty, as Christians, we must learn to trust not in the contents of the glass, but in the one who holds it, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Now, over the next few weeks, we are going to be looking at the letter of Paul to the church in Philippi. Now, it's an immensely popular book seen by some biblical scholars as a guide to contentment, or as a textbook for what it means to know peace and joy, even in the midst of trial and suffering. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi will challenge us, but it will also deeply, deeply encourage us. In the midst of challenging times, you see, God's answer for earthly struggles has always been the same. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. God is still sovereign. We can know joy and peace today as children of God, not because the world we live in is problem-free. We know it isn't. But because of the promise of the presence of a sovereign, loving God with us and in us. What might God want to say to each of us as we study this book? What might be the encouragement and challenge week by week as we unpack God's living, breathing word, as relevant and as important today as what it has ever been? Now, Philippians is a warm letter. It's full of encouragement. It's full of hope. And yet Paul did not write it from a place of comfort and rest, but instead from a prison cell, under constant guard and in chains. He too is in a place of confinement, but he's writing a warm letter to a church family he deeply loves. It's a church he's spent quite a bit of time with, a city he first visits in Acts 16. And maybe later, why not have a look at Paul's time in Philippi? You'll see that it's in Acts 16 in Philippi where he befriended Lydia. He established a church in her home. Whilst in jail in Philippi, there was also the powerful earthquake which saw Paul and Silas freed from their chains before the jailer and his family came to believe in Jesus and be baptized. There's a really tight bond between Paul and this church. The affection leaps off the page at us, and that only continues as we read the letter through. Now, Philippi was an important city. In many ways, it was like a mini Rome. It was wealthy, and the Philippians enjoyed many extra privileges. It was a place of prestige and importance. Note with me then, maybe have your Bible open in front of you, note with me how Paul introduces his letter. Verses 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. Interestingly, Paul doesn't start with the same greeting most of his letters adopt. If you look at Galatians or Ephesians, it's the different wording. See, but writing to the church in Philippi, Paul doesn't need to state his authority. The Philippians know him well. He doesn't introduce himself as he does in the other letters as Paul the Apostle or Paul called by God. Instead, to this church in Philippi, he underlines that he is but a servant of Christ Jesus, not worthy of a pedestal, but perhaps an encouragement to the church in Philippi to remember their status in Christ. Not wealthy merchants or important Philippians, but servants, bought at a price by Jesus, and men and women who were seeking to follow the way of the Lord. Also notice with me that Paul says, to the saints who are at Philippi. Why not just say, dear Philippian church? Because he wants to address them as who they are in Christ first. Paul isn't concerned about where they come from or their earthly status they have as residents of this grand city. But instead he sees them for what they are by grace and in the sight of God. They're servants, but they're also saints, God's holy people, set apart by God in Jesus to live differently and for God's glory. Now, nowadays, we use the word saint often to point to super Christians or Christians who have done miraculous things. But when the Bible talks about saints, it just means everyone who follows Jesus, all who sought to live Jesus' way, set apart, made holy, made new in Jesus. We too are saints today if we follow God, if we seek to lead holy lives. If we receive this letter today, the opening verse would read, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are part of St. Luke's Canning Town Online. It's a message for all of us to receive, along with the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is Paul writing to Philippi? Because there's some things he wants to address and how they've been living, yes. He's got some things to update them about himself, and ultimately because there's a lot of hope he wants to offer them. It's a letter from house arrest, from lockdown, with a lot of things to challenge and to inspire the church in Philippi with, but I believe the church today with too. Now, in this opening section, Paul goes on to express his joy, his thankfulness for the church in Philippi, to share his heart for them, that they might grow in their walk with Jesus. Now, what are some of the markers of Paul's walk with the Lord? Look with me through the verses. Firstly, verse 3, he has a thankful heart. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. He's grateful for the believers in Philippi. Verse 4, Paul also has a joyful spirit. As he remembers and prays for those in Philippi, he is filled with joy because his focus is on the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the partnership in verse 5 he shares with those like-minded to him in Philippi. But it's all grounded in verse 6 because Paul also has a confident hope. What in? Well, in the promise and assurance that God who began a good work in them will bring it to completion. Paul rests in the promises and purposes of God. Because God doesn't get distracted halfway through his plans. God doesn't just give up when we muck it up or go astray. No, Paul has a certain hope and we too can share in his confidence, for God is not finished with any of us yet. And lastly, Paul also has in verse 7 an affectionate love for his fellow believers. His heart for the believers in Philippi is just so obvious in these opening verses. He says he yearns for them. He says with the love of Jesus, he deeply cares for them. But he also hopes for more for them. You know, he reveals some of the content of what he prays for them. And you know, it's all rooted in this one word. Growth. He prays that they will love one another more. Would your love for each other abound? He prays that they will also grow in the knowledge of God and their ability to discern right teaching and where God is leading them, and that they will know how to live so that they might be pure and blameless, but also filled with the fruits of righteousness. Paul loves the believers in Philippi, but he longs and prays for them to continue growing in their walk with Jesus. He longs for them to live holy lives. He longs for them to be more and more the people God created them to be. We'll see as we go through this letter, he has a longing for their unity, that the world might see that in their unity they express the love of God. Now, Paul, having expressed his heart for the church in Philippi, he also wants to update them on his situation and to offer some encouragement and maybe a couple of warnings too. Because Paul knows the church in Philippi are worried about him. He knows that they know he is in chains, and he wants to encourage them that despite how this situation looks from an earthly perspective, God is still in control and was working his purposes out. We know from some of Paul's earlier letters, he had this real heart to get to Rome that he might preach about the Lord. Perhaps not in the way he imagined, Paul now has this opportunity to preach to the imperial guard from his prison. Indeed, Paul might be in Roman chains, but the good news is he was called to preach is being heard throughout the whole place. The Romans could put chains on Paul's hands and feet, but he couldn't stop the message his mouth was boldly proclaiming. You can chain up believers of the gospel. We see that all around the world where our brothers and sisters are persecuted for their faith, but nothing and no one can stop or will ever stop the love of God and his message of salvation. Paul doesn't see himself as a prisoner of Rome. He sees himself as a prisoner for Christ, on mission with a divine appointment to be exactly where God has placed him to be with the message to share to those he finds himself with. What does Paul say is the positive outcome of his imprisonment? The good news of Jesus is being shared with the guards, and other believers are growing in boldness and confidence in their sharing of the message of Jesus. If Paul can proclaim Christ crucified in the midst of his bondage, others too could share where they were, and we today have the same challenge. Paul was not restricted by his circumstances to share and live for Jesus. What's stopping us today? None of us are accidents. Nothing about our circumstances restricts our sharing of the love of God. You are in the workplaces, the flats, the colleges, the parent group, the friendship groups, not by accident, but instead on a divine appointment by God for the purpose of sharing his love this week. Don't we want to share in the love and the peace and the hope we've found in Jesus with those we care about? Don't we want to join in with God's rescue plan for the world? But as we will see throughout this letter and in the comments that Paul goes on to make, it's not just about the what we do, but also about the why we do it. You see, in the next bit of the letter that Nathan read, Paul goes on to say that whilst many are growing in their confidence in sharing about Jesus, not everyone is doing it for the right motives. Some do the right thing, but others do the right thing, but from hearts full of self-promotion, selfish ambition, or perhaps to even try and hurt Paul. How does Paul choose to respond this morning? By focusing on Jesus. He says, by choosing joy. Whatever the motives, Paul says, Christ's name is being preached. People are hearing of God's love. God was changing and challenging hearts. You see, Paul could get angry or hurt, but instead he calls for rejoicing. You know, joy is a really key theme throughout Philippians. Paul, in just the four chapters, will use the word joy or rejoicing 14 times. Joy is a key tenet of Christian living. You see, joy is not happiness. It's different. It's impossible to be happy all the time. Situations are tough. But joy and happiness are not the same. Joy is the deep assurance that all will be well. God is with us. God is still working his purposes out. Why can Paul choose joy? Because he's confident that both through the Philippians' prayers, he says, and the help of the Holy Spirit, God will work all things out. Can we say the same thing today? It's a jam-packed opening to an important book, and we could think and talk about this passage for hours. But what might we want to tease out from these opening verses for ourselves today? Here's a couple of suggestions. Firstly, are you a saint? Now, not in the way that we might immediately spring to, not in the sense of getting everything right or being a super Christian, but in the way the Bible uses the word, are you a saint? Are you in for Jesus? Are you living for him? Are you being made new in him? Are you set apart? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to live as Jesus is calling you to live? Perhaps as we go through the next few weeks in Philippians, there'll be some things for all of us to think about. We'll all be challenged about what it means to live distinctively and how we respond as God's holy people to the challenges perhaps in our ways. I wonder though if you're growing in your walk with Jesus. See, Paul's prayer for the church in Philippi was one all about growth. Growth in their relationship with Jesus, but also in their love for one another, for a further depth in their knowledge and discernment of God's ways, and that they would be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Are we praying that prayer for ourselves? Do we want to grow? But do we also pray that prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ? If not, will we commit to doing so in the week ahead? Would we pray that we would all grow in our walk with God? That we would all grow in both our knowledge of God's word? Would we all grow in our ability to discern what God is saying in Scripture, but also in the world around us? Would we all grow in being filled with the fruits of the Spirit? What is it we need more of this week? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it patience? Is it kindness? Is it gentleness? Is it self-control? What fruit of the Spirit, what fruit of righteousness do you need to be filled more with this week? Can we pray that prayer for ourselves day by day? But can we also commit to pray it for one another? Because Christianity is not about our own individual thing. We're called into relationship with God and into right relationships with one another. Who will you commit to pray that prayer for this week? Thirdly, what inspiration do you need to take from Paul this week? Because he's in a prison cell, but he's full of joy. He's unsure of what the future holds. You know, death could be an option in a matter of days. But he has rock solid faith and assurance in the one who keeps his promises. In the midst of his suffering, in the midst of imprisonment, he prays and remembers the church in Philippi with joy and fondness. I wonder what characteristic of Paul you need in your life. As we went through those opening verses, do you need a thankful heart? Do you need a joyful spirit? Do you need a renewed focus on the good news of Jesus? Is it you that you need Paul's confident hope? Or is it more of his love for our brothers and sisters in Christ? In chains, Paul still had hope because he knew the one who had started a good work in him was going to bring it to completion. God hadn't finished with him yet. As Jesus said in their gospel reading, it may look like life was being lost, but in taking up the cross, in living for Jesus, Paul was more alive and free than ever before. Paul was willing to lay down his life for the Lord. In chains, in prison, he still knew of a joy and a hope and a purpose that many in our world are desperately trying to find in anything other than in the God who is love and peace and hope and joy and purpose. What characteristic of Paul do you need to pray for more of in your life? What do you need to lay down in order to pick up afresh from God? Have you found what you're looking for in Jesus? Or are you chasing after the wrong things today? I wonder, perhaps super challengingly, if some of us need to examine our motivations in following Jesus. Are we chasing after God and growing in our walk with him because we want to love God more? Or are we looking for favour elsewhere? Does our inner walk with Jesus reflect what the world around us see? Are we Sunday best kind of Christians, where we get it all together and present well on Sundays in church and then do our own thing the rest of the week, chasing after the ways of the world? Do we do and say all the right things to earn the favour of others? Or are we trying to earn God's love? Or are we growing in our walk with Jesus because we want to know God more? Because we want to live more as we were created to be? Are we operating from right motives? Or from selfish ambition? Or envy? Or hurt? Or anger? Or shame? This morning there's an invitation to all of us to come to Jesus, to live free, to ask for forgiveness or healing, and then to step out into today, into tomorrow and freedom, motivated instead by love and hope and peace and joy. See, God's not finished with us yet. He has plans for all of our lives. What he has started, Paul boldly proclaims, he will complete. Lastly, I wonder if some of us need to choose joy today. I know life is tough for many. Suffering, uncertainty, questions are everywhere. But how is God's people will we choose to respond? Will we look for silver linings or problems? Will we trust in a half full or half empty glass? Or will we choose instead to trust in the one who holds it? In the prisons, perhaps, that some of us find ourselves in, will we look to see how God can still be at work? In the midst of uncertainty, will we choose to receive God's peace? In the messiness of life, will we choose to hold on to God's hand as he walks with us through the storms? In the questions that abound, will we hold on to the one who is the truth? I may not know what the future holds, but I sure know the one who does. Who among us will choose joy? At these times where we can't meet together, will we choose to disengage, or will we choose to push through? Will we choose to worship? Will we choose joy? Will we choose to hope and expect that God will come through because he keeps his promises? And when he says he will see this through, what he has started, will we choose to believe his words this day? In the trials of today, God wins. In the questions of our hearts, he speaks. In the unknown of what to come, he is with us. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at St. Luke's online service today, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for our deliverance. God isn't finished with you yet. How will you respond to his offer of love today?